I want to share a thought with us this morning. And I believe it's what God laid in my heart to share with us. And because it's God's message, I believe that every one of us will be blessed. Amen. Because it's the message of God. And I pray that, just like our brother said, we receive the word of God with meekness. We receive the word of God. We don't wrestle with God's word, but we receive the word of God with meekness. The engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. We receive it in Jesus' name. The title of the message I want to share with you this morning is Halting Between Two Opinions. Halting Between Two Opinions. That is the title of the message. And I take my text from 1 Kings. Let's read it. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Halting Between Two Opinions. 1 Kings chapter 18. I read from verse 17 to 24. Long read. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophet of Baal 450, and the prophet of Groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long ought ye between two opinions? That's where I take my test. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And now underline this in your Bible. And the people answered him not a word. Underline this in your Bible. Verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I, only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put fire under. I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put fire under. Verse 24. And call ye upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And the people answered and said, It is well spoken. You can underline that in your Bible to praise God. Now, halting between two opinions. That is the title of the message. But before I go further in the script, into the message, I want to share some thoughts with us. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul said, writing to Timothy, said, Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, he said, some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We are in the last times. We are in the last days. We are in the end times. And a lot is happening around us. Christian faith, believers' faith, is being shaken. Many of us, we are not really holding on to God as we should. Because of the pressures, because of the circumstances, because of situations, our commitment to God is not really as it should be. Because he said, some shall depart. Not that they will quit faith, not that they will cease to be Christians, but they will not hold on to the principle of the scriptures. You will hear around us, people will say, this is what I believe. Even when you are preaching to them about what the Word of God says, they say, let me say, some departing from faith. Say, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Like I said, departing from faith does not mean that you quit to be a Christian. But you are departing from the principle, elementary principle of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And that in these last days, these are the future, these are things that we'll see in the lives of believers. Then number two, many of us, we are not stable in our commitment to Christ. You are one leg in, you are one leg out. And in Genesis chapter 49, verse 4, Jacob said to, is it Reuben or what? He said, you are unstable as water, you will not excel. Instability, when you are not stable in God, when you are not stable in your commitment, there is no way you can excel in your faith. There is no way you can fulfill the purpose of God for your life when you are not stable in your commitment to God. He said, unstable as water, you will not excel. Instability will not make you to excel. So we are not committed. We are not really committed. We are not stable in our commitment to Christ. And lastly, some of us, he said, that first Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, he said, giving heed to seduces and doctrines of teachings of demons. Well, in the church today, we have teachings, a lot of teachings. Pay tithe, don't pay tithe. Do this, don't do this. People are confusing us. And some of these teachings, they are doctrines of devils. And they've entered the church. So you have to take it unto yourself. That's the foundation I want to lay before I go into the message proper. Praise God. You see, all these things, that I've enumerated, they could possibly affect the way we see God. Our commitments, our departing from faith, and our giving it to strange teachings, they could affect the way we see God or our attitude to Him. Praise God. Now, you see, when we go back to the topic of our test, halting between two opinions. To halt means to limp. To be unsteady. To be undecided. Hobbling. You are here today. You are there tomorrow. You are not decided between two opinions. So, you see, and then your opinion, that's your attitude, your perception, the way you see things, your estimation, the way you estimate things, those are your opinion. That is opinion. So when you say cutting between two opinions, that is you are opening two estimation. One on this side, the other on the other side. You don't know which one to do. And so the challenge they had in the days of Elijah, the challenge they had that people of God, children of Israel, they were not stable. They will serve Baal today. They will serve God tomorrow. They will serve God in the morning. In the evening, they will go to the Jezebel table to eat food over to idols. So they are not stable in their commitment to God. And Elijah challenged them. And that's the challenge I want to give to us this morning. How long will ye halt between two opinions? How long will you halt between two opinions? So what I intend to achieve by this message is to encourage us, one is to encourage us to resolve to build, to hold firm to God. To resolve to do what? To hold firm to God. You see, many of us, the way we serve God, we are just like, we have turned church to a social gathering, a religious exercise that you have to fulfill, coming to church on Sunday. No, your commitment to God is not deep. So I intend to encourage us to resolve to hold firm to God, and two, to be resolute and steadfast in our commitment to Christ. To be resolute and steadfast in our commitment to Christ. You see, if we are not committed, if we are not steadfast, if not resolved to serve God, situations, challenges, circumstances of life will just take us away from God. So, as I press forward, why do people hurt in their opinion? Why are they not decided? Why are they unsteady in their opinions? Number one, their concept of salvation is shallow. Many of us, you see, even when we make contact at times, people will be smiling and be gisting to give their life to Jesus Christ. What caused Jesus Christ's blood? What caused God to send his only begotten Son into this world to die for us? And when people make jest of it, our concept of salvation is so shallow. And let me say this to us. Salvation is an event and also an experience. Say, you understand what I'm saying? It's an event because you can experience and it can experience it. So our concept of salvation, the way we see salvation is that, like some people say, when you want to give your life, just say, we're not come. Let us go and give your life. It's not like that. It's an individual, personal decision. So we must understand what salvation is. So if we don't really understand it, if we are not really grounded, then there's no way we're not hurt in our opinions of God. That's why, you see, it's funny. A Christian will go to market and one white garment man will meet you and will tell you that don't go out for the next 7 days. And you now say that, I met a man today, say I should not go. And you believe it and you stay at home for 7 days. Because your concept of salvation is shallow. You know, let me say this to you. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us. Amen. Everybody say, he has redeemed us. He has redeemed. And this redemption is a complete one. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, popular scriptures. Now, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Behold, all things become new. You see, when you come to Jesus Christ, you experience a newness of life. Amen. And so you cease to be that old man. You are now a new man. Understand that. Praise God. God translated us from the kingdom or from the authority of darkness and now brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that translation, it was a complete one. Amen. New creation reality. We need to understand this in our walk with God, that he has delivered us from the authority of darkness. Amen. He has delivered you. Understand the concept of salvation. You see, many of us today that we claim to be saved, we don't even know, we don't really understand the concept of salvation, what salvation really means. That's why a believer, someone that is born again, will be comfortable not reading the Bible. People don't understand what salvation is. You'll be comfortable not coming for Bible study because you don't really understand what salvation is. So, you see, that's one of the number one reasons why people hate their opinion of God. Now, number two. You see, it is not enough for somebody to bring you to Jesus Christ or to reveal Jesus Christ to you. You must know him yourself. You must discover Jesus Christ on the pages of the scripture yourself. Your personal knowledge of God, you need to know God for yourself. Paul writing, I think in Thessalonians, he said, now that you know God, or rather that you are known of God. He said, now that you know God, or rather that you are known of God, we should know God. It's not that God that Pastor Dr. Lakade preaches. It's not that God that... is it God that you know yourself? Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 said, they that know their God, they that know their God, they that know their God. Do you know God? They that know their God, the Bible said, they shall be strong
and do exploits. You must have personal knowledge of God. You see, when you see some of us, the way we behave, you know, these people are not, they have not really met the Lord. They have not really met the Lord. If you have met the Lord, your character, your conduct, your speech, the way you will change. Praise God. Your personal, you know, Paul, David, at the twin light of his life, he was charging his son Solomon. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9, chapter 28, verse 9, he said, "And now, Solomon, my son," he said, "know the God of your father." Just serve this God with a perfect heart. He said, "Know the God of your father." We must have personal knowledge of God. Who is God to you? Who is God to you? We must have that personal knowledge of God. So if you don't have, if you have not have that encounter to know who God is, there is no way you will not act in your opinion of God. Because you believe God is this today, and you believe God is another thing tomorrow. Because you don't have personal knowledge of God. Praise God. And you see, number three, the third reason why people hurt in their opinion of God is that, number three, that they don't serve God with purpose, with determination. No, Jesus Christ said something. He said, "The zeal of the house of God has consumed me." He said, "The zeal of the house of God has consumed him." Paul, when he was charged of people in the heart of apostle, he said, "With purpose of heart," he said, "with determination of heart, cleave unto God." Many of us, the way we relate to God, you are not really committed. You are not really determined. Challenges will come. Like I was telling my student this morning at the BBC, I said, "Look, if you are born again, you have to tell people that you are born again." In our days, when we give our lives to Christ, we have girlfriends, we smoke, we drink, and all that. We have complaints that we drink together and we smoke together and we do all that together. And you have girlfriend, you know. So the first thing you go and tell your girlfriend, they will tell you in the fellowship. I don't know where you are at the sacrament, you can refer to that. People that are born, they will tell you in the fellowship, go and tell that your sin partner, that's what they call it then, that I'm not born again. No. And a brother will follow you. And that's what we do in our area. Abi Mokuro. So why was the sister? But Jesus no aye mi o. Oba Paris be. Elemi o sukun. Ah, to let the promise that I give then date that I give, I'm going to marry you. And somebody's now, or if it's a girl, the sister that is born again, we go to the boy. Bobo, I say, but let's say agree more at the Christian. I will see some of us because we do not take such steps. Our commitment to God is like, I can do anything that I like. That's why our opinion of God is like, whatever we do, whatever I want to do, we just do it. Praise the Lord. So these are things that make us to hurt in our opinion of God. But the intention of this message is to bring us to a point that will be determined. That will bring us to a point that will be resolute in our commitment to God. That will say God is you and you. No, people have had challenges in life and they look unto God for deliverance and God delivered them. They did not go to say, some people said you see, you will try something because your commitment to God is not deep. Praise God. At the angle, I call all bless you, our prosperity. If I told you, bless you, I will not call out my sin. Yeah, it's not we not think like that. Praise God. But we must come to a point in our walk with the Lord that we are serious with God. Praise God. That we are committed to Him. That we stay with Him. That we have really surrendered our life. That we are really new creatures. We must get to that point. That's the intention. So that at the end of this message, I want to sort of see, I want to see Christians that are active and vibrant for Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, in the accounts in 1 Kings chapter 18, you know, Ahab took over and brought Jezebel in. Jezebel being an idol worshiper. So he brought idols, and then some of the prophets of God, he changed them. People of Israel, he changed them to, instead of serving God, they were serving Baal. And some of them, they will serve God, like I said, they will serve God in the morning. Some of them still go to, in the evening, they will go to Jezebel's table to eat. And then they are not decided. So Ahab now came on the scene. The first question, the first challenge he took to them is that how long? Because he understood what the people were going through. That they were undecided. That they were unstable. That they will be with God today, this morning, and then the next moment they will be with Baal, How long will you halt between two opinions? Now, in this case, serving God is an opinion. And serving Satan or Baal is also an opinion. And I want to challenge every one of us this morning. If you want to serve God, he said, if it is God, serve him. If you want to serve Baal, serve him. You see, in life, there is no sitting on the fence. In spiritual things, you are either for God or for Satan. Period. You know, Satan will allow you to serve God 90%, to serve God 90% and serve him 10%. It's okay with Satan. God will not take that. Serve God with 99% and give God Satan 1%. Satan will still take it from you. Because you know you are serving him. Because just I said, a servant cannot serve two masters. You either dishonor one or honor the other. Or vice versa. You cannot serve two. That's why I said you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot. Praise God. He said you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and serve Satan. How long will you halt between two opinions? Serving God or serving Satan? How long will you halt between? I put this challenge to us as a church. Let's be consistent in our work with God. You see, we'll be wasting our time if we leave this church. If we leave church today, some people, you see, some people will leave church and go to their girlfriend's house or boyfriend's house, as the case may be. Or some people will leave church and they will still go to beer parlor. Some people are in church basically to steal. They will steal phone. I've not heard it before. That they stole phone in church. So, you see, you cannot live your life like that. And we cannot continue to live our life like that. We have to make up our minds. If it is God that we want to serve, let us serve God. He said, you will serve the Lord with all your might, with all your strength, with everything. That's the service that is acceptable unto God. Everything into it. So Elijah threw that challenge to them. He said, you have two opinions now. And all of us this morning, we have two opinions. Serve God or serve Baal. The choice is yours. But you see, we are in church. I want to encourage us to serve Jesus Christ. Don't let us... You see, like I said, some of us, the way we live our lives, we cannot really place you. Are you serving God? Or is it? If some of us, if you talk, you say, the brother, I don't survive anything. The only sister, I don't survive anything. We cannot really place you by your utterances. Say, Christian, the lily, I become a believer. Because I'm a believer, I'm going to listen to Dubai now. Praise God. You cannot serve God and mammon. you cannot serve two masters. Praise the Lord. Now that is Luke chapter 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. You either serve one, honor one, or dishonor the other. So, honor Jesus Christ and dishonor the Satan. Get to that point in your life. Let your will be done in my life. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance. You see, some people trusting God for the fruit of the womb. They have prayed. At the point, some of them say that there is yours somewhere. These are practical things, though. Now that is also somewhere. And they will now go and give them what will be the trouble of their lives. What will destroy their lives. You will have to get to a point, even though he slain me, yet will I trust him. In your commitment and your work with the Lord, you have to get to that point. Praise God. That you say like Job, I know whom I believed that is able to save me. Though warm it is, but dead in my flesh, I see God. You see, you have to get to a point that you are really convinced. You have to be convinced about God and you don't compromise. Praise the Lord. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Now, let me now begin to round up because I'm going to close very soon. Many of us will claim to be born again, like I said, the way we live our lives. We are like the Pharisees. You know, one of the problems Jesus Christ had with the Pharisees is that they say, but they do not do. You know, there was a point they were challenging Jesus Christ. They were telling Jesus Christ that, we'll be Abraham's children now. We are seed of Abraham now. They were telling Jesus that we are not born of... Okay, in John chapter 8, verse 39, he said, and he answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And the other guy said, Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. See it. They were telling Jesus Christ that, yes, we be Abraham's children. But their lifestyle, their way of life, is directly opposite what they profess with their mouths. That's the state of many of us in church today. We say, but we don't do. He said, if you are Abraham's children indeed, he said, the works of Abraham you will do. If you are born again indeed, the works of Jesus Christ you will do. The way we live our lives, with anything goes. Anything goes. I can say anything. A Christian will say such things. I can say anything. If you are born again, you say, there is this song, my life is not my own. I belong. So you see, you don't hold anything. Jesus owns it. Even when you are challenging, you are okay. You don't have to follow that brother. You can say, That will never let me say. A Christian shouldn't talk like that. You are bought with a price. Praise God. Now, let's open our Bible to Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12. I want to show you something. Ezekiel chapter 8. Book of Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 12. Let me read. Then said he unto me, Son of man, thou hast seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark. Every man in chambers of his imagery, for they say, the Lord hears us not. The Lord has forsaken the heart. Praise God. You know, many of us, this is talking about, there is the ancient of the house of Israel, talking about the church. the headers of the church. Say, see what they do in the dark. Many of us will leave this place. What do you do after you leave the church? Are you still a child of God after you leave the church? When you go to your offices, when you are in the marketplace, wherever you find yourself, those are dark places of the world. When you are saying, you say, God does not, it's only in church that God can see us. When we leave this place, God does not see. And in the corner of your room, in the, your office, in where we, you do abominable things. We need to repent. Praise God. We need to repent and come back to God. He said, they said, for the Lord sees not. And God said, look at what they are doing in the dark. I can see it. And God is searching and seeing every one of us. Leave this place with a renewed commitment to God. Amen. Leave this place with a renewed commitment to serving God and to staying with God. Now, like I said earlier, a prophet will come to you and said, don't bath for 7 days. And you as a child of God. You see, some Christian will still go to a fortune teller or whatever. Some people will still go to there. Eh? Fortune teller, they will still go to there and say, Because you don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't come for fellowship. So you now go to one Baba and say, I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it. So, things like that, you know. Things like that. And there, but there's a way out. You know, that's the way they are. That's the way they talk now. Okay, but and Christians will put their heads and then they say, a born again Christian, somebody bought with the blood precious blood of Jesus Christ, that we have exceeding great and precious promises in the word of God about our futures, about our lives, but because we don't read the Bible, we don't know, so that's why we go to all these houses and begin to put our heads under their. When I was growing up, let me give you my personal experience. I was not even born again then. So, things happened and somebody took me to one nursing and nurse man. I was not born again, but I know God in a way, in my own, no. You see, and the man now looked at me. In fact, everything that he said, true to God, everything that he said about me. In fact, things that I did before coming to you, he told me. And I look at it. Because what I had a quarrel with my dad. He said it. He said, before you came here, you have a quarrel with your daddy. I said, but you see, me, because of this Anglican background and CAC background that we have, that if you want to pray, there's a way you pray. But when the man was praying for me, he crossed his leg like this, didn't close his eyes, and I was looking at him like this. He did not close his eyes. He crossed his leg like this. I said, and I told my cousin, I said, it's not a man of God. He said, why? He crossed his leg. That was the reason. That was the only reason I did not believe him. I said he was talking to God and he crossed his leg and even opened his eyes. I said that. But everything he said. You know, so I didn't believe him. I said, no, what he said? He said, I do something, but I didn't do anything. I said, this man, I don't know, but I don't think he's God, though. And you know, what he made the matter was, he said, I should go and buy soap. I should bring it back to him. A meeting the whole of what you like, that is school. Game over, working with the guinea, get down with that. So, I don't know about Gambia. So, you know, some of us, we still do such things. We consult them. You consult people to tell you your future. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Say, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That's God speaking. Say, thought of peace. And not of evil. He said to give you a future and a hope. And because you don't read that in your scripture, you still go to somebody to be telling you that. People have left church because they are looking for husband. And God has not given them husband. And because of that, they become enemy of God. People left faith because of things like that. That shows the depth of their commitment. Very shallow. Praise the Lord. You know, okay, let me get to you so that I don't move ahead of myself. I'm about to close. Like I said, some of us, like, we are like Pharisees. We just, everything we do for religious reason. Come to church, we come to church. We go to home, we start doing some other things. Please, I want to charge us. Let's live differently this year. All the message that pastor has preached to us about reading the Bible, about faith, effective prayer, the principle of effective prayer, and all that, Please, let's put them into practice. That is how God did this with us. If God wants to speak with you, He will speak from His word. God will not speak outside His word. He will not speak outside the Bible. He will speak to you. And we have seen people that trusted God for many years, and God came through for them. Even when they say, menopause, we have seen people that have passed childbearing, and they still, some of them twins. A woman was sharing testimony. I had this myself, 60, in deeper life, over 60. And she came back, trusting God. They've married for about 12 to 40 years. But they head on to God. And God, you see, but some of us, getting their long suffering, God. You see, we have to leave the word of God. Stay with God. You know, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have two opinions too. He said, when you hear the trumpet sound, bow to this idol. If you don't bow, you will burn. You know what he said? He said, O king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. He said, we are not going to think about it twice to tell you what is in our mind. They that know their God. I want to Moloni. He said, we are not going to think twice to tell you what is in our mind. We are not going to bow. He said, if our God that we serve is able to devour, let him devour. If not, but let it known to you, we are not going to bow. They have two opinions. One opinion to serve, to bow down. I tell you, many of this present day Christianity, many of us will bow. Many of us. I'm not saying many of you, I say many of us, including myself. So that we don't say that this man is talking from. All this I'm saying, as I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself too. Many of us will bow. Many will bow. Many of us have done abominable things outside the church. Compromise. And so to this morning, we have to come to this point that, Lord, renew your commitments. We do like that, those three Hebrew children. If God is able to deliver us, let him deliver. If he's not, then we will not bow. We will face the consequence. And then they that say such things, they will never regret it. Because when they threw them in the fire, God allowed them to be thrown into the fire to show that he is almighty. And he appeared. In your difficult time, God will appear for you. God appeared for them. Praise God. So please, let's hold God tenaciously. Family. Go back home. Talk to God about your life. It's not something that we leave this place now and then we go back home. I said, know you not yourself. How that Christ dressed in you? I said, you be reprobate. We know ourselves. I know myself. You know yourself. I know areas that I need to talk to God about concerning my life and concerning my work with Him. Praise the Lord. There's another story. There's another story. The Rechabites. In Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 1 to 14. I'm not going to read it. They took them. God instructed the prophets to take them to the temple and to give them wine, in the temple wine, to give them. They have opinions. Either to take the wine or not to take the wine. But you know, they said something. He said, our father, Rechab, has told us that we should neither drink wine nor touch it. It was very tempting, you know. They took them to the temple. So, No, they said, no, we are not going to do it. And God said, look at, God now told the prophet, go and tell the children of Israel, see what the daughters of Rechab, the sons of Rechab did. See what they did. What their father told them, they hold on to it. They held on to it. What you read in the scriptures, in face of opposition, in face of challenge situation, hold on to it. Like the Rechabites. Hold on to the word of God. And so this morning, I've concluded, stand firm for God. Stand for godly opinions. You have opinions of the devil. You have opinion of God. Stand, you see, this Bible, when you read the word of God, it will deliver you from fears. It will deliver you from all this. Read your Bible. These are, it contains what the opinion of God. Like I told my children, I said, you must have your own opinion about everything in life. Because if you don't have your opinion, people will impose their own opinion on you. You must have your own opinion on premarital sex. What's your own opinion about it? You must have to teach your children to have opinion about issues of life. What's your opinion about God? What's your opinion about tithing? So that someone will not come today and say, it's not scriptural to tithe. What you make opinion until you are persuaded. This is, I know tithe. God has been blessed me through tithing. So no. What's the name of this guy that always talk on social media? That the priest, very good. You know, that the freeze. So there's nothing that priest can be say. Me, I don't even, because I know this guy is somebody that's not born again. And take a Bible. So I'm a sophomore, but tight. You have your opinion about church. Your opinion about tithing. Opinion about living for God. Opinion about serving God. You must have opinion on every issue of life. You must have your own opinion. Because if you don't have your own opinion and teach your children to have opinion on issues of life, that's why some children, your Christians, some children, godly Christians, they will leave with their and they go to university and they start taking drug. They start doing things that their parents don't tell them because they don't have their own opinion about. I've told my children, what's your opinion about this Yahoo thing? And they say, it's not. I want to, because let it be formed in them. That's like train up a child the way it should go. When he grow up, he will not depart from it. Let them have opinion on the issue of life. It will help them. And all of us too, we should have opinion on the issue of life. So that Satan or people, satanic people, will not impose their own opinion on us. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I want us to bow our head and talk to God about your life. Talk to God about your relationship with Him. Talk to God about your relationship with Him. If you have missed it in any way, it's a faithful God. The Bible says, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Make up your mind. You won't go back. I'm a child of God. I will not go back on God. I will stay with God. I will stick with God. Irrespective of situation or circumstances, it's God and God alone. renew your commitment to God. A life of one leg in, one leg out, God will not allow that. God will not accept that. That's a service that is not acceptable to God. If you want to serve God, you have to wholly commit to Him.